Hello, and welcome back to the Careless Talk Climbing Podcast with me, Sam Pryor, and my co-host, Aidan Roberts. This week, just Aidan and I chatting about all things Finland, because that's where Aidan is at the minute. We talk about the Sisu project, infamous, and I believe to be undone project from Nale, and talk about Burden of Dreams, obviously, but also a lot about the sort of psychology about being someone in the spotlight trying Burden of Dreams. And we also try and devise a scale to judge the quality of a boulder, taking difficulty out of it, which Aidan wasn't all that excited by, so I had to slightly drag him kicking and screaming down, but we got there in the end. It wasn't intended to be one of the main points of this podcast, but it ended up being. This podcast is supported completely by our patrons, so a big thank you to them. If you're enjoying the podcast and you'd like to support us, please do consider checking out our Patreon page to help us keep the lights on. Thanks very much for listening, everybody.
Wait, there's so many more features on Zoom now.
Oh yeah, I've seen all this. I don't know what it all means.
An AI companion.
Don't David know what that is?
Use AI companion to ask questions, catch up on meetings and more. Oh, maybe I'll just click on that.
And then you just come on like
read,
that.
Read my book and see what the thing. Yeah, see what they've learned about me.
Lovely, lovely stuff. What have you been up to today?
I went and looked at Sisu.
Was that the first time you went to see it?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that was what you sent me, that video.
Yeah. I sent you you can't, like, I don't even know. I mean, obviously, I have a crap phone on my camera, but like,
that
if
is
you had a really
surely
nice
something you've got to fix at some point.
Nah, what are you talking about? It's fine. yeah, I don't need a good phone.
No, you don't need a good phone. You need a worse phone. You need a good camera.
I need a Nokia and a camera. Cameras, yeah. I actually did look into getting cameras. Cameras are expensive.
Yeah, I know. I've looked into it as well. And it's like, it's really confusing area if you don't know anything about photography. And I'm not putting that on you, but I don't know anything about photography.
Nor do I.
And so like, you're just completely relying on what people have said. But unfortunately, we live in a world now where most of the like reviews are from some form of influencer that was paid for their review.
And then, yeah, then you like, you can't, they have no integrity.
Yeah. And
they're from like people who are doing really niche things, which I also don't need to do.
No, what you need is just a good picture, point and shoot, and 4K video option. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I actually quite enjoy, so Jim got a new camera before this trip.
Took some fantastic pictures. I didn't know Jim was a photographer.
He is now.
He just got
a camera before this trip. And he's got a pretty nice one. So I was kind of like playing around with it.
What is it? Is it like one of those SLR jobbies?
Yeah, it's one of the Fujifilm ones, but it's quite nice. Good colors. Apparently they have the best colors. Anyway, I was playing around with that camera and it was quite interesting and like quite a nice, there's a lot of things which I see, which I'm like, wow, that is incredible. And like, I just store it up there in the old noggin because,
doing it old school.
It's like that project today, the Sisu project, like is probably the most beautiful boulder I've ever seen. Oh, and yeah, it's like such an amazing feature.
Because it's
the
like
rock is like
an amazing scoop, isn't it?
Yeah, and like the scoop engulfs a tree. The rock as well is a tapestry. It's amazing. Hmm. And I was looking at it, I was like, wow, this is unbelievable. And I took a photo of it and I was like, oh, it looks crap. Not that it looks crap, obviously the feature looks nice, but I was like, you just can't see how amazing that looks.
So for context, Sisu project was a Nale project that he put decent amount of time into but didn't do, right?
Yeah, so I don't, yeah, jury's out as to whether he's still trying it, who knows.
Is there any chalk on any of it?
A little bit on the starting undercut, but I think it maybe just stays dry. But yeah, the history of Sisu, I actually don't know who found it, so I won't do that.
But it was found, that we can confirm.
it was found. Maybe my Marco and Vila seem to find most of the things around here. But anyway, Sisu means, I think it essentially means perseverance. It has like some, I think it has quite a few meanings, but I think it's pretty much.
It's a step up of the Finnish smut. That.
But, so it's an amazing feature. It's hard to look at it and be like, not be like, I want to try and climb that. So Nale put quite a few sessions on it, into it. I think he's tried it quite a lot, has gone back loads of times with like ladders and pads, and even built a little platform to work the middle section more easily.
So we saw the video of that, didn't we? Which was like, if you imagine buying like a foldable bit of like garden furniture, it was like an outdoor style table, and he'd given it really, really long legs. And he'd put pads on that, and he was trying the moves from that. And to my eye, it just looked more dangerous than doing it. So it looked like he was just adding in 10 more things that could go wrong.
However, I quite like the idea of that is actually quite cool, because it is like, it is tall. And other than the first move, you'd have to like pull on off a ladder because it's too steep to work on a rope.
I feel like if you had a good look around, you might find that table. Like, surely that's a stash table. You're not going to carry that in every time, are you?
Yeah, it is up a bit of a hill at the end as well. It's kind of like,
it might be a stash table. It might be worth taking a quick look under a few rocks.
Yeah, have a little scurry about. Yeah. But it's like quite a good idea. You create like a platform so that you can work the moves in isolation. And like, the moves, like I took a ladder to feel the holds and like kind of have a little theorize about it. The moves look like question marks individually kind of thing. And there was nothing about it which I'd be like, well, physically, absolutely, that's impossible. But the holds, when I'd hold the holds and I'd be like, could I potentially take my weight on these holds with a foot on? And I'd be like, I'm not entirely sure like whether I can. And then also the moves are quite big. So doing that and then generating to the next hold would be like, whoa.
How overhanging is it?
Pretty steep. Maybe like...
Because in the video, it looked quite vert.
No. It's like probably minimum. I'd say that 35.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, 35, 40 kind of thing. It's kind of, it feels steep. And it's steeper at the bottom, but yeah, the moves definitely are question marks. I wouldn't say, oh yeah, definitely that's possible, but I think it's definitely possible to hold the positions.
Okay.
Thereby, maybe, I think I'm pretty sure it's possible to hold positions, but incredibly hard. In my head, I'm a bit like, oh, I don't know if it's possible, but I think I'll go and try it at some point because why not?
How much of it could you try by yourself?
I'd probably go back with someone because you can pull on off a ladder. Someone could move a ladder out of the way and things. Might be a little bit sketchy just because the holds are like small and not super in cut. So just pulling on would be like serious, just dry fire potential.
Right.
So maybe I'd go back, see if I can get a crew motivated.
This could be the next thing, couldn't it, that the climbing world really latches onto, because, you know, it's an amazing undone project. I could see like a decent amount of hype getting behind this if people started trying it.
Yeah. The thing that I wanted to go and look at it before, I'd be like, I'm going to go and have a session on it, because I kind of knew it wasn't going to be like something you just go and try. Partly because Nally wrote a blog about it at one point. I think he'd had loads and loads of sessions. There was like a handful of moves he hadn't figured out. And this was at a time where like he'd done Burden or something. We're talking like a sequence of 8 moves or something to get to a crack line. It looks like an obvious breakdown to like another top boulder. The top boulder looks hard, but not the level of like the bottom section. I'm convinced all of the moves below are harder than like any of the moves on Burden.
Oh.
It's like a lot harder individual moves, and they're like back to back, like all really hard. Realistically, what it would take for someone to actually like give serious goes on something like that, you'd have to invest a lot of your life energy. Right. It's not something that you just be like, oh, someone's got really strong fingers, so they're going to jump on there and do really well. It's kind of like, it looks really crimpy and really like body tensiony. It looks like a style which I would usually quite like. Maybe the holds are more rounded than I'm usually used to, but like it's a style I'd probably be like, oh yeah, that would usually suit me quite well. But I was like, wow, I definitely can't do that right now. Anyway, it would like, I would feel like if I was going to try it, it would take me like years and years to, and actually like be improving a lot kind of thing.
Okay. But that doesn't put you off going to try it?
No, I want to kind of know what it's like, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like if that thing could be done, that's like a...
That's probably got to be the next grade up then at some point.
There's no question marks about it.
It has to be.
I would anticipate there'll be at least a grade or two between that and what's being done now.
Oh, really? That harsh?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's something that is possible. It's very cool.
Oh.
It's a bit of like a pilgrimage, I feel, to go and like visit that boulder.
Sort of like, it's like Naughty's Gaskins difficulty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. But an amazing line and cool rock. And
yeah. Wow. Get him out there.
It's a good one. So yeah, I was glad when I looked at it. But yet to really have an understanding of how theoretical it is.
So you said before that you had like a chat with Nikki about, you said it's like slightly complicated, kind of like, is there access issues or is
to
there
Sisu
just in general in Finland? Like what's the, because I'm thinking like Finland's had Burden and it could potentially have Sisu. Like it could be like shockingly out of nowhere, Finland could be the like the home hub of like the hardest cutting edge bouldering for the next however many years. So people might be more regularly booking trips out there. Like what's the situation if, say, you know, anyone wanted to go out there and climb? Like what kind of information do you to know?
Yeah, it's like, I feel there's a few things to that. Partly I am surprised by how like maybe underappreciated this place is as like a quality climbing destination. Like Burden is like a really inspiring boulder for me in many ways, which aren't the quality of the boulder. The quality of the boulder problem, that's like way down the list in terms of how good the climbs are. Like the quality of the climbs here, really high. There's some incredible boulders. Some of my favorites are just scattered around here. And that's not even like in an elitist way. Throughout the grades, there's like incredible boulders of varying difficulties. And there's not really been a spotlight on it. I've spoken to some climbers here that are always questioning like, oh, why are you visiting Finland? Assume it must just be because of Burden of Dreams, which like is a big reason that I'm here. But it's not why like Sam and Jim came out. I've had surprisingly not that many sessions on Burden of Dreams. I've been here for like almost 3 weeks.
And you did the Globalist and that looks amazing.
That's probably another one which people would know. But there's like a lot which...
people don't know.
Yeah. And I think maybe it is quite spread out. So you go to the likes of Magic Wood or Font, or you get to an area and you'd be able to climb all day in one place and it's like no faff. Where it is much more spread out, so you do have to drive. It's more like logistically faffy. I do think that like the energy that goes into like approaching these climbs, and me, Sam and Jim had a lot of discussions around this, really kind of put some emphasis on its qualities. You really appreciate it because you like have put in the time and effort, and if you're motivated and you kind of have the energy to do that, the climbs here are really special. But I can also see why if people are time poor and they want to go on a trip and get a lot of things done, which I think is the case for lots of people who go on way on climbing trips, I can understand why they maybe go somewhere which is more dense with the amount of climbing. So I'd assume that's maybe why it's not on like the international map in general.
So it's a lot of drives between like the boulders and stuff. When you drive, is it also a walk? Is it like a drive and a walk?
Oh, it varies a lot.
Okay.
Actually. In terms of access, I think that was how it got onto this. A lot of it is on, well, there's a lot of like private land. And generally the issue isn't climbing, but like more parking. So it is quite sensitive. There's certain areas or more famous areas, like where the Globalist is, or SIPO, where like hypergravity and circus elephant syndrome, they're in the same place, where they are there has been access issues, but it has been down to the parking. So you now have to like park elsewhere and like do more of a walk, which is fine, but you need to know about it. You have to know like some details about it beforehand. And like, I've been really fortunate in that Nicky has given me a bunch of details from his time here. And he like learned a lot of it from this guy, Marco, who's like responsible for lots of the development around here and found loads of boulders and, is it oracle of knowledge in this area anyway? That's like definitely been made more possible, which obviously can't just be scaled up to like anyone visiting. I don't know if there is like a bunch of areas on 27 Crags, but not everywhere. There's a lot of boulders which aren't as well. And like, it's definitely, it would have been hard to come on a trip using just 27 Crags and not have any correspondence with like Marco or Nikki prior to the trip. I've definitely relied quite heavily on that, which obviously most people can't just do. So I think that's maybe why it's not super on the map or known about.
Who would you recommend it to and who would you maybe not recommend it to?
Basically anyone who would be like psyched enough to have the motivation to get here. It's obviously further away. It's less like set up for climbers. If you're like are really inspired by the climbing here, and like the rock is amazing, like there's some granite which is some of the best I've climbed on, basically. There's some of the features are really nice as well. So like if you like are motivated enough for the features and the climbs that you're willing to do those journeys and kind of more of those little walk, endure some cold, like go through all like the logistical side of things, and I'd be very surprised if people came and didn't enjoy the climbing. You have to have a lot of energy to explore. Find all these spots. If there were to be a guidebook, it would probably make it way more like accessible. But
If some work could be put in with the landowners and stuff to sort of, because you've got to kind of tee people up to say, you know, like there's a lot of climbers who are going to want to come visit these boulders. So we need to tell them somewhere where they can park, or they're going to park where you don't want them to, basically.
Yeah. So I do like fully appreciate one, writing a guidebook is not like a profitable endeavor for anyone. I always kind of feel like writing guidebooks is more
service.
Like, yeah, it's like service to the climbing community, honestly.
Definitely agree.
Well, there's just so much work that goes into it before you would ever reap the rewards, and I assume they're not great.
Yes. I should imagine, like, you know, if you do like a really successful guidebook for like Font, that probably makes quite a lot of money. But as you say, the amount of work that you need to put in to generate that guidebook, it's like if the opportunity cost is just having a decently paying job, that probably would have been more remunerative over the same amount of time. So yeah, I think it's definitely like more of a service, as you say.
Yeah. I don't like have any expectations of someone just who would write a guidebook. And also there is like the logistical faff of land ownership. Obviously, if you write something in print, it's quite like concrete, and public relations with landowners and parking and everything is obviously a lot more dynamic. So I don't know whether that like rigorous structure of a guidebook can like be so practical in many ways.
Do you think it's good through the grades, or has it got like a bit that's, you know, the best grade area?
What are the best ones? Oh, it's hard to say.
I suppose you're probably not sampling all the like sixes, are you? I mean, like realistically.
I'd say probably like, we've done a lot around like the 7C to 8A range. And there's a lot of really good boulders around that level.
Okay, nice.
I'd say maybe that's the highest quality. Yeah, probably around 7C to 8A. And there's quite a lot around that level as well.
Yeah,
I love Finland.
But
sauna culture.
have you been doing some saunering?
Yeah, I went to the Airbnb. Me, Sam, and Jim were sharing an Airbnb when we arrived. And then I moved into a friend of a friend's flat when they left. But we had a sauna in the first Airbnb, but I don't have one in this flat. But I went.
There was actually a sauna in the Airbnb.
Yeah, yeah, which is quite standard.
Oh, that's cool. And yeah, that's standard.
Yeah. Yeah. Like lots of houses and like flats and things will have saunas. But I went to some like community run saunas called Sompa Sauna in, anyone in Helsinki seems to know where that is. It's like basically right by the sea in Helsinki, and like the community keep the wood, like the wooden stove, the light kind of throughout the days. And like, it's, yeah, you just meet a load of like very friendly people, and you go like, you can go from there into the sea back and forth. It's pretty cold, actually. It's quite cold at the moment. yeah, it was super nice. Met a lot of like Finnish locals, and everyone was very friendly. So I like a bit of sauna culture. It's nice.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I get so cold throughout the days as well. I like find it really hard to stay warm here.
How cold is it?
I mean, like, it's kind of, it was in the minuses today, but only just. But I think I'd say usually it's been like between like 0 and 5 degrees most of the time.
Okay.
But actually it's a bit easier now. There's less wind. When there was wind, I was finding it pretty hard. But,
and you had a couple of weeks with Sam and Aiden. Sorry, you're Aiden. You had a couple of weeks with Sam and Jim. What were you kind of focusing on then? Because that you didn't try Burden that much then, did you?
No, I did try it a bit. Yeah, I tried it a bunch. I'm just trying to think in the time that they were here. I can't really remember how many times. But like I had like quite a few days there, but it was like it was important for them to climb as well. So I had to like kind of fit in other crags even the same day, but it was like it's a bit further away from other areas, so it doesn't work so much to like just try that. So it wasn't really like a projecting trip at that point. We were like often going around different places, and that was quite nice actually as well, because the big part of why I wanted to get out of this trip was explore the area as well as just like project. And Burden is, I do find it inspiring, but I think it's not that I don't have the patience, but I am really inspired by it as a problem, and like for what it represents, the history of it, kind of what it represents for me as a climber as well. Like feels like it represents a lot of diversity in my like climbing style. And like, I am really inspired by that, but I'm not inspired to throw myself at it when my skin's bad and it's not fun to try.
Yeah, I think we need to give it a proper score. You remember the old climbing scores that Nathan, Tara, and I devised in Rocklands, and I think we started doing it here probably a year ago now. So you've probably forgotten about it, but when we were in Rocklands, we devised a way of scoring boulders that looked at holds, moves, line and history.
Yeah.
And this is the subjective bit. Well, it's all subjective, but the first bit of the subjectivity is that we scored the maximum amount, like, you know, what's the maximum you can get in each category? Because for me personally, you're never going to get as many points in history as you are in holds, say. And so I think that I've done that in order of how important it is for the boulder. So I think holds are the most important, then moves, then line, then history.
Oh.
And the reason why I put holds first is because I think there are boulders which are amazing just because of one hold. And like, I don't think you could have great moves without good holds. But a boulder could score higher on moves than holds. But I think,
yeah.
But would you disagree? What order would you put them in?
Oh, I don't know if I can be so. I think I did answer this question, but I don't know if I could be so categorical about it. Oh man, it's so complex. And also, just like putting a cap on, like, I think it is interesting to think about these themes, right? Like, because I think Burden, for example, would score really highly on history. I think, like,
yes. Unfortunately, for me, that was only a 2-point maximum. but it would get 2 points.
But that is interesting because I don't think anyone would make the claim that the holds on Burden are particularly nice.
Like, no, I think I agree.
I don't know. I don't think I know of anyone who's tried it and not like had some devastating splits at some point.
If you understand, the point that I'm trying to make is that you can really want to do a boulder and care a lot about a boulder that's not objectively a good boulder.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? If Burden ends up with a low score, that doesn't mean it's not worth trying. It's just interesting how like there's some other more like intangible reason why you're really drawn to it other than the actual boulder itself.
Does that make sense? Yeah, no. And definitely that is something that I think it's probably relatively clear. I've kind of like come to realize or understand that Burden is a good boulder. I think it is an inspiring boulder, but like it's not a great boulder. In terms of like the holds are really uncomfortable and often like skin is a limiting factor. It's not, I think it is really cool in that it's so simple. It's just like a face. Mm. And the moves are interesting in that they're complex. They're complex because they're like, I think partly due to the nature of the rock and the rock is slick. No, they are interesting moves, but they're like strange style. I'm just trying to think if like it didn't have its historical significance. I don't know if you'd look at the boulder and be like, wow, that is a stunner. Like you'd be like, wow, that's a good boulder. Like that's a cool boulder because it's just
interesting moves on a face. And board climbs always score well outside, even though like if you set the exact boulder inside, people would not be so positive. As soon as you get a really good board climb outside, like Vecchio, it suddenly everyone loves it.
Board climbs outside make really good boulders, but they don't make the great boulders. I'm just trying to think of like the examples. Like you get like the Finish Line or something, or like Living Large.
And yet, the Finish Line has got some pretty dodgy holds on it.
Yeah. But they're like, you think of like the best lines, Finish Line, Living Large. A mandler is like a board, I guess.
Yeah, a mandler is a board for sure.
And it is like, it's seen as classic, but like nobody's going to make the claim that a mandler is as good as Finish Line, even though they both have kind of uncomfortable holds.
Mm.
I think that's fair to say, right? In terms of like as a climb.
Yeah. I think so. Because a mandler is nowhere near as dramatic. Because part of what's so cool about the Finish Line is because it's sitting on like a plinth. And so like it rises above all the other boulders. It's as if it was kind of staged to be the center of attention. So that adds a huge amount of grandiosity, even though that actually isn't the boulder itself.
Yeah.
Because that's the boulder beneath it. But it somehow makes it like this obvious thing. Like it should have like a spotlight on it sort of thing.
Yeah. But I think basically it does make it interesting because... And I've been trying to be sensitive. Obviously, it's a boulder of massive historical significance. I'm not making the case that like it sucks because it is really good. It's sometimes it sucks to try. You're just like, oh, I can do these moves, but like it's so uncomfortable right now. And like I have so many splits and like I'm going to have to wait for like a week and a half, 10 days to be precise, for my skin to be back. And it's like, oh, it's easy to like find yourself in a little roller coaster when you're trying it.
That's what you said when you were trying Midnight, is that you're having the realization that actually the end game for hard crimping is really a skin game more than a strength game. You know, you're going to have to be able to do things quickly because your skin is going to give out incredibly fast.
Yeah, I don't... did I say exactly that? Because I don't entirely agree with that in that...
Oh, good.
I don't think it is a skin game. I think it's like... it's a patience game, right?
But isn't that kind of looking at the same coin from the other side sort of thing? Because it's patience because of the skin, or is it patience because of the conditions?
No. I do think like that, but what I'm saying is there isn't like a physical ceiling because of skin. Midnight, I think actually by the end, I figured out how to hold the hold slightly differently and I could have like 3 or 4 goes from the start. Obviously, skin is a limiting factor there. And like if your skin wasn't as damaged, you'd probably do it much quicker. That's not like the physicality ceiling. You could still have a climb that is crimpier and like it not just be down to the structures of your skin. Like there's physicalities involved is what I'm saying.
Do you think the crimping game though could go so far that you have to be so strong on holds so small that actually it is impossible to do that without just splitting? Like, because obviously skin must have a maximum capacity.
Yeah.
It's like if you climbed on a razor blade, it would just go straight through your skin. So
Yeah. I mean, then you go into like the more sensitive topic of weight, which does make a not plausible, like a tangible difference, I guess. Because like integrity of the skin for a light person and a heavy person is probably going to be the same.
Yes, we've all known those really light people who suddenly announce, "I've never had a split, or I've never gone through a tip."
Yeah.
The person who says that is rarely heavy.
So I do think it. I do think it makes a legitimate difference. Anyway, I don't really know about. I think we're a long way. The climbing world in general is a long way from like maxing out crimp strength down to integrity of skin there.
Okay.
What was the point I was making? Okay, I was... Karen.
Did you have a point?
I was making a point earlier.
Points are few and far between on this podcast.
But we drained...
We must cherish them.
I was making a point, but we can get back to it. We'll get back to it more.
Okay, well...
precisely at some point.
Speak now or forever hold your peace, because otherwise... my system devised with Nathan and Tara for grading boulder problems outside of difficulty was 10 points for holds, 8 for moves, 5 for line, 2 for history, and 1 intangible bonus point just for the feeling.
Wow.
So okay. It's got one possible point that you can just give because you want to. That's your choice.
Wow. History is incredibly low for you.
Yes. Because for me personally, it is quite low for like grading the actual... Because this is trying to look at objectively how good a boulder is. And I think most of the boulders that have got incredible history are also good. So I think they'll...
Wait, if you're talking about something like actually objectively, though, then I guess it doesn't make any difference whatsoever.
No, but it's not really that objective. Since I've got a point for just general feeling.
Wait, okay. So this is a quality of a
general
boulder.
General vibiness is out of
But mind. In terms of like, I'd say the quality of a boulder perhaps shouldn't be solely objective.
No, but this is...
Wait, is this like an objective grading system at all?
So this is like an attempt to make a way of deciding which boulder is the best, removing difficulty from the equation. So, because obviously, in reality, as I'm sure you've seen, that they did like a thing, didn't they, on one of the logbook websites where they were like, boulders over, like the harder a boulder gets, the more likely it is to get 5 stars from people who try it. That can't be right. That's just sort of general sort of, because hard boulders aren't better than easier boulders, surely.
No, but I think that's why I was like kind of challenging the idea of whether to grade how good a boulder is by solely objective features, because that's probably down to the fact that, like, I guess maybe that's your bonus point. When things are harder, people like invest more energy into them.
Yes.
And like kind of like,
so it's deliberately trying to take that out. Because experience clouds judgment, doesn't it? If you have...
Well, that's a big statement.
If you have an incredible time... So hear me out. If you have an incredible time with like your mates and you know you're having an amazing session, everyone's having a laugh, everyone tries really hard... Everybody does it. The general milieu of the session was so good. Then you are going to think that boulder is better than it was, right?
Agreed, yeah.
So this scale is trying to take that out as much as possible.
So it's like, because if you then graded the boulder as that good and then recommended it to someone as like a 5-star boulder and they went by themselves, maybe it's drizzling, you know, maybe it's in Rotherham.
Some people like to go climbing by themselves.
I know, but if their experience is different.
What are you cussing that out for? Yeah.
Then they might be like, this boulder isn't as good as what Aiden was saying. So the idea, the concept is trying to take that out to get a more objective grading of boulders. But I do admit it is wrong to 9 decimal places like this. It can't work. But it's an attempt.
But we're going to be here talking about it for the next half an hour anyway. Okay. That's interesting.
But I will allow you the opportunity to change the maximum scores. So if the maximum score on this one is out of, what's that, 25?
It's
out of 26. It's out of a very enigmatic 26.
Nice. Yeah. Half a deck of cards.
And that is, yeah, perfect.
Yeah. It's meant to be like that. Well, I think I'm still trying to. So this is trying to take our experience out of a climb, just look at a climb and the quality of a climb.
Yes. And you have to suspend your disbelief that this is a bad idea.
So wait,
I'm going to drag you kicking and screaming down this aisle of questioning.
Is this trying to like grade climbs? Okay, let me say grade independent of difficulty. Grade a climb's quality almost through the lens of like, were you to know nothing about this climb and you turn up to it, then like this should give you an accurate measure of what the best climb is.
Yes, and it's taking away the lens of the ability of the climber that would be looking at it. So then
surely the history of a climb shouldn't make any difference whatsoever.
But it does to, so I only give it 2 points. And the only reason for that is because it's just cool, isn't it? So I do agree.
Wait. I need to lay some ground rules here.
I've been foisted by my own petard here.
In some ways, this is a very like rigorously objective scale, and then it's cool, isn't it? It's
going to. Rigorous objectivity slowly slides off a cliff towards the end, admittedly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just gonna make the point that I think the history about a climb is quite important in terms of the quality of the climb. Like there are a lot of climbs around the world that myself and I'm sure a lot of other people are interested in trying mostly because of the history of the climb as opposed to like the quality of the climb itself. I accept that and I'm super aware that I'm not under the delusion that some of these climbs are like the best things around. For example, like Hubble is inspiring.
No, yeah, exactly. Hubble is a climb that most people want to do and would score very badly on this scale.
But like, it's an inspiring climb. And I'd say like, wow, that's a cool climb, Hubble. Yeah, that's a cool climb. And so I would like think in terms of like, what is a good climb? History plays a big factor in what makes a good climb. Okay. If I was like, just looking at what makes a good climb, if we're going to try and define that scale, it might be like a climb that people would want to try, be inspired to try, or like enjoy trying. And I do think history plays a really big role in that. Maybe I'd give them all relatively similar scores.
Really?
I mean, it wouldn't quite work. They'd all be 6.5. But like,
I do kind of, unfortunately, you have put forward a very good argument in that history, by the whole nature of what we're trying to do with this scale, doesn't really have a place in it. And that is a very good argument because history is also completely ultimately subjective. For us, if a climb has been done by someone we know and really respect, then it would get a higher history score. But for the person who maybe has never heard of that person, wouldn't care. And so if we're doing this from the lens of anybody, then we should really take history out because that is purely subjective from
sorry.
That, so I'm kind of now on board with taking that out.
Oh wow.
I think you're right to make that. I think either we need to increase its value or take it out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I would, yeah. Yeah, okay. This is through the lens of like what makes a climb, someone who knows nothing about the climb. Maybe, okay, so the scale is almost like a climber walking through a forest and this climb just like is in a clearing.
Exactly. So you don't even know when it was done or who by. Like, it's purely objective. It's the boulder. So that would mean history is, for the time being, binned.
Yeah,
pending further inquiry.
Yeah, yeah.
Which leaves us...
Can I just make the point that I don't think that this is like dictates what is necessarily a good climb.
Right. Okay.
This scale.
Who's turn this off, everybody?
Because I think history is so important. History, like, I think, or like the history, the geography, like all a really important part of why we climb and what makes a good climb. I've done a lot of climbs in the Lake District, which I rate really highly. I have really fond memories around those climbs. And that, for me, they're like some of my favorite climbs, but partly due to the fact that they're around my home. It's a very familiar spot. I really like love that place. They're really special climbs for me. Now, I'm not making the case that like if you stumbled across them, having known nothing about them, you'd be like, wow, that is incredible. But like for me, they make some of the best climbs. So I guess that's different to history, but it's a factor that is like independent of just the rock itself that like contributes to it being an amazing climb. And like that changes for everyone, right? Like you were saying, the history of a climb has different significance for different people. Things like geography will as well. And I think scenery as well. Like some people wouldn't care.
So, but these are all your, I mean, in listeners, I try and salvage anything from this whole segment. But these are all like your subjective biases is like creeping in again though, aren't they? So we're trying to remove. Yeah. So
I agree with that.
Don't worry. We're not saying that we're holding you to this scale being your, this is not the scale of this is what I believe.
I get what this is doing.
Yeah. But it's an attempt to be a kind of like outside of.
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is that I feel like that is like very inaccurate, like reflection of how like much I would like how good a boulder I think it is. Like,
yeah,
obviously I don't know the ratios, but like the subjective thing might make up almost more than the objective part for me.
I think it would realistically. I think it would. I think. So. For me, like when I come to like end this year and I'm thinking back as to like, what was my, are you still there?
Yeah. I'm here. I'm just very still.
Oh my God. You're so still, like a waxwork.
I was just listening really intently.
Oh God. I've never seen you so still. So obviously when I like, and we probably should do this towards the end of the year, we'll have a think back over our year and like pick out favorite moments and things. But I know when I'm doing that, spoiler alert, like my favorite moment of the year is almost certainly going to be topping out the wilderness in the rain. The fact that it was pouring with rain and I was on my own makes it better. So I would then think of like, when I'm thinking back, I'm thinking, I will then remember wilderness as being a better boulder than it actually is because of something that is completely subjective.
Yeah. The memory for you there is topping out wilderness in the rain. The top out of wilderness is literally just shossy limestone jug hauling them. They all might fall off in your face.
Any one of them might break.
Like objectively.
They all feel like they might break.
Objectively, that's some of the worst climbing you've probably ever done, but it's one of your fondest memories.
And don't forget all the mud and the leaves.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, this is my point. But yeah, no, I would like to continue with the objective grading.
So if we that disclaimer aside, if we do the objective scale, do you think? We should probably take out the intangible point for vibiness. That's probably got to go.
And history.
History's gone, which leaves us with a 23-point scale currently on holds, moves, and line. I had holds at 10, moves at 8, line at 5. Would you like to move those around?
Wow. Wait, line is half of holds for you?
Yes, because I think holds... I think a climb could be made. I think you could almost have a good climb purely out of like three incredible pinches, even if it was low ball. But I think if it was just a good line, but it climbed like absolute death with crab holds and terrible moves, I think you've got a bad climb there. I don't think line. So here's my argument. I don't think line can save holds, but I think holds can save line. That's my theory. I'm trying to think of a classic low ball with good holds, but there are many.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're like what makes great climbs. I would actually go 6-5-6.
6-5-6.
Wait, how many points are we having? Oh, no, wait.
Oh, well, you can. There's way more. We can decide. Oh. We can have a 17-point scale if that's what we think is applicable.
Wait, okay. No. Yeah, well, we'll go 8-7-8 then.
8-7-8. Okay. What's 25 again?
No. 23.
What?
It was meant to be 23, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. God. You're the numbers guy.
Yeah. This is just to try and get it 23. Yeah, I think I would rate holds and line equally.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I'm happy to
and the moves that pretty highly, but slightly lower for some reason. But the thing that I find is hard is that for any like scenario in which I allocate these numbers, I feel I can always find like an exception.
Yes.
Yeah, it feels, yeah. But I'm just, my gut says 8-7-8.
But have you ever heard that phrase, the exception that proves the rule?
Yes.
So I think that's just a thing we could say when someone comes up with an exception.
Yeah, it's a figure of speech some people get. We'll just use that.
People just say that dramatically in a way that really means, yes, that's an anomaly. But
yes, we are wrong.
But that's a way to keep grasping onto your theory for a bit longer.
We're not always trying to be right.
Okay, well, that gives us the enigmatic 23-point scale.
Yes.
So after all that, in a segment that was supposed to take 60 seconds, how would you rate burden? So what would you rate it for holds out of a possible 8? And you can do this actually really accurately because you have 3D models of the holds. So you've seen the holds on other angles. You've seen them on the floor. This is the perfect way to grade holds outside of the line.
I'm going to say... Oh, so wait, one is like awful holds.
One is like absolutely just uncomfortable to hold. Just like there is no way. It doesn't matter how slowly you go to them. They're just bad. It's like, you know,
but we can give the fact like the rule that the hold is in like has structural integrity.
Yes. Yeah. It's not about, it's not about it might break and damage, but it's like, you know, so an example of like a one hold would be like, you know, those holds on the kilter board that are clearly on there for like climbing at 40 degrees.
Oh yeah.
And then you raise it up to like 10 degrees. And they feel like death because they just were not designed for this angle.
Yeah.
That would be one.
Three
out of 8.
They're kind of uncomfortable. Maybe, three or four. There are some nice holds. I'm going to save,
I will let you have a decimal if you want to have a decimal.
3.5. There are some holds which I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like the first right hand you go to, that like kind of V-shaped crimp isn't sharp. That's like a nice edge.
The hold you pop to at the top looks good.
That, when you hit it, it's good, but it just chews you so many times. I've had so many, I got this from that. I've had so many cuts here.
From that. Oh.
But yeah, like when you hit it, it's a joke.
So what you're saying is the you have got your...
I'd say the right hand holds, other than the right hand holds are kind of comfy. The left hand holds are kind of savage.
So you've got the boys at core to put in a great deal of time molding 3.5 out of 8 holds.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you're looking for like a comfortable training set of holds, that is not the set for you. But then also, if you had that and then you came to Burden, like, yeah, your expectations would be all misaligned.
They're so massive as well because you're on those big plates. I think it'd be really funny to see someone with like a relatively small Sheffield-based training board with those on there.
Yeah. No, it's true. But... yeah, not super highly. They are uncomfortable.
Okay, and just, moves is out of a possible 7.
Oh, how do you rate the quality of moves, you know?
Well, yeah, that's...
Is it like how much you another enjoy hour's it or how much you want? if this is for the... Is this for the every person who like looks at the climb? Is it them trying it?
I think it has to be... Yeah, it is hard to kind of put into words, isn't it, how to grade moves. But I think for moves at the upper end, it's about how like fun and satisfying they are to do as well. Like, or it has to be 4. Like 4. Okay.
4.5.
Well, I would say hitting that top hole, that top move on Burden... Hitting that from the start would be incredibly satisfying because it's like a proper jump swing.
That is a satisfying move. Yeah. So yeah, in terms of satisfaction and the first move when you hit the right hand well and it feels really good and like, well, I do it taking the swing, that move, but like that's satisfying, like latch as well.
Does everyone take the swing on that first move or do some people keep their feet on?
I think most people keep their feet on.
That's unusual that most people keeping their feet on and you're not.
Yeah, no. I think I have good body tension when you like can keep weight in a foot consistently. Keeping weight in my feet is a real strength of mine.
You're phenomenal body tension, I would have thought.
But like in the scenarios where throughout the movement you like maintain pressure in the feet, so I'm like good at like digging with my toes basically. Whereas that move is because you like pull towards the right to get to the next hold, you can't be pulling with your foot. There's like a point where like you have to like the foot isn't pushing, because if you're pushing with that foot the whole time you can't like dig into that foothold because it's flat. The way you keep weight in it is like by pushing into it. And if you're pushing into it, the whole movement, you're not going right. You just push yourself off the move. So you kind of have to like de-weight the foot, hit the hold and then weight the foot. You often see when people do that move, they'll hit the hold and then there's like a really pronounced point where they like push with their leg to like keep weighting the right foot. You can see it really clearly when Nale and Will do that move. They hit the hold and the foot's not weighted. And then they like, you see the leg engage and push. And I don't know if I'm just like poorly coordinated and find that really hard, but I like find it really like weird to like kind of have that point where you de-weight a foot and then you put pressure into it. So yeah, usually my foot I like go into it with my foot coming off because the hold is like kind of good. It feels quite a stable position, so the swing's not so bad. So it just feels more reliable that way.
Well,
you do the move slightly differently. You basically like go to the hold slower so you can like kind of get it a bit better. But your weight's not in like a trajectory where you like it's that easy to keep the form.
So when you take that with the foot swinging off, how is it putting the foot back on after the swing?
The foot's actually in like the perfect place. So when your foot comes back in, it sits straight on. You'll see...
Can you swing back and put it in at a better position? Can you kind of miss a foot walk or anything by doing it that way?
Yeah, you miss a foot move. You go left foot, right foot, and then drop your left foot down. If you can get the hold well, whether you cut or whether you don't, it probably doesn't make that much difference. Like if you watch video of Sean climbing, I think he put on his YouTube that attempt where he dropped the last, like got to the last move, his foot popped, going for the last hold. He does it really well. And like you'll see it's really natural for the foot to go back on.
Fair enough. So we just need points for line out of a possible 8.
I think it's a good line.
Yeah, I think it's a good line for the boulder it's on. I think it's a good line.
Yeah.
But 6? The boulder itself is not a dramatic boulder, is it?
I was going to say 6.
6.
Because I think for the boulder that it's on, I couldn't necessarily improve that drastically. But I think, yeah, it could be like... It's like a face climb, right? Like I'm great.
Yeah.
It's like I'm grading it out of 8 for a face climb. And I guess like maybe it could be a bit bigger.
So it scored 13.5 out of 23.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. It works.
Wait, is that it? I think it is interesting to think about, but okay, this is a point I was going to make earlier. Maybe that's a good time to make it. Obviously when you're so like when I'm okay, I'll put this in context because obviously I mean it in this example. There are times on working on projects that are hard which just like aren't that fun. And it almost correlates more when you are really enjoying it as well. Cause it's like almost like there's like, you know what you're missing. So like I kind of had that a lot with Midnight when I was trying that. I'd enjoy the kind of like the process of understanding that climb and those times where like everything felt like it was falling into place. It felt like I was, they were like such intense experiences. I felt like climbing in flow. Those are really satisfying, like quite euphoric moments. Even when I wasn't necessarily doing the climbs, I really liked that. And almost experiencing that makes the times where you have a devastating split and you're like, wow, I've got like a week and a half where I've got to walk away from this. Mm. Don't know whether I'll get another opportunity to do it kind of thing. That makes it a bit worse. I feel like a burden with, for example, I kind of had like, a couple of sessions where I was actually enjoying my sessions and I was being able to have quite a few goes and like make some links. And I was finding satisfaction in doing the moves. And I maybe like pushed it a bit much, got bad skin, uncomfortable. And then I had to climb with tape. And then psychologically, I think it was worse because I like physically, I feel like I probably didn't get worse. Well, obviously I didn't in like the space of less than a week. You feel like you've taken steps backwards, partly when your skin's really hurting and you've wrapped your fingers in tape, not performing very well. So you're not doing many moves. It's like not necessarily a fun session, but also, you know, like you have like a point of reference of like, what is a fun session? The satisfaction of doing those moves and like kind of understanding it. And if you can't really learn, I'm actually, so the reason I usually go, even if I do like climb with tape, I can get a lot of satisfaction from like learning stuff, even like in that scenario. I don't necessarily just blanket say like climbing with tape is not fun. The reason I still show up is because it's quite nice to like work on some nuances. I enjoy that, but definitely there were spells of it where it's just objectively not fun. Maybe I'm using these objective, subjective words too much. But like, I definitely
If it hurts, it's hard to have fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And I knew that from when I was here last. So I kind of knew I was getting myself into that. I've definitely found a much more balance with it this time, and that I'm pretty inspired by other things to the project I tried, which is utterly incredible, which I'll tell you about in a bit, and really nice for the skin, so I can try it in conjunction with.
Oh, perfect.
It really encouraged me to think a little bit about like burden as a climb and how like motivated I am for it, because obviously it varies, oscillates a little bit session to session. I have the luxury at the moment. I'm not paying rent on anywhere in the UK. It's relatively affordable for me to stay here. I'm very time rich here. And I really like the area and the rest of my time here. So I'm really in a very fortunate position in that I'm not under any pressure to try it if I don't really want to. It's not like I'm you've got to leave by this date. You've got to do it kind of thing. I'm very content with the idea that I would leave this trip having not done it. Mm. That wouldn't feel like a failure. But in terms of, it's maybe a good example. It got 13.5 out of 23 on my objective boulder scale. I actually think the subjective parts of it make a massive part of why I'm trying it. But I think a big part of that subjective stuff I was almost more hesitant to accept was egotistical side of the climb as well, and its reputation, what that means for myself and as a climber.
Until it's dethroned, I think it's got the reputation in the climbing world as being the hardest boulder in the world, I think.
Matters, and my climbing reputation obviously matters partly for sake of my profession, but it's not solely that. I have some investment in that outside of just that being a financial tool for me to be known as a good climber.
But it is one. It is also your job, so it's also understandable.
It is also that, but there's obviously pride there as well. I think I've been quite not in denial about that in the past. I've been definitely slow to accept that in myself. It's weird because I don't necessarily feel like I have anything to prove, but there's definitely part of me that acknowledges. And I think I was aware that pride played a part of it. I was so reluctant to engage with something that felt like it was driven by pride or reputation or something that was extrinsic.
Mm.
Talked about alienating extrinsic motivations on the podcast we did with Hazel. Either that's reference to last episode or a teaser.
it'll probably come out before because I have started.
Ah, nice. Okay, yeah. Basically, I think I acknowledged the pride associated with trying this boulder, and that was almost a reason I didn't really want to try it. Definitely played into my reluctance to try it, just to know that I was engaging in something that was dictated by something so extrinsic. Well, I'm making efforts not to fully condemn extrinsic motivations. Obviously, I think it's better to acknowledge them and make more considered decisions about what you're doing with a full understanding of all the motivations and just be in total denial about them. So I am accepting that, but yeah, at the same time, it's something I think from the day to day being for example, there is this project that I had one session on a few days ago, which is really nice in terms of holds, would be really high on this scale. It would rate a lot higher on this objective scale. It would be really high. It's a beautiful project, and I'm really inspired by it, and I'm part of me is wanting to go back to do there because I know it will be a fun exploratory session trying to understand the moves and I'll have a really good time. And it's probably easier than burden, that one. There's more leeway to not it's really kind on the skin, and it feels like it's a bit more, the puzzle is a bit more rewarding or more satisfying, if that makes sense. Because you anyway, making those judgments, it's if I'm very aware of these like extrinsic motivations as well, it's sometimes quite weird how much to know, like how much to be influenced by them and like how much to be like, oh, burden, like, am I going to have a good session kind of thing? It's like, how much do I want it? Like, how much do I let those factors like influence what I do with my day to day?
If you could totally remove, and that was one thing that I think is quite interesting, is because I don't know how easy it is to actually separate extrinsic and intrinsic motivations in your mind. Like, I think the two will influence each other, and I think it's quite difficult to actually really extrapolate which is which. But anyway, that's by the by. But yeah, if you could remove all of the extrinsic motivations, I guess it's difficult to figure out how much would be exactly how much is would be left of intrinsic. Because obviously you are intrinsically motivated to try it. Like, we know that. You're not just doing it for everyone else, but it is like a sort of nebulous swirling mass of the two things, isn't it? So it's quite difficult to excise one from the other.
Yeah. I think, it's probably not that categorical, clear cut. I definitely think it's possible to overthink these things as well.
But that's part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Part of the fun. So I'd say generally trying to, I think it is interesting because obviously that like kind of objective thought of like what burden is in terms of like a quality of boulder plays into that. Cause like if it was like 23 out of 23,
yeah,
I might be like, oh, well, maybe there's extrinsic motivations, but like it's utterly incredible and I'd want to be trying this climb regardless. So like maybe it doesn't even matter. But I don't think it is necessarily that, partly because it is just a reality that you might go there, physically feel quite good, and you'd be like quite motivated for your session. And then you open a split and it's kind of like, oh, your session's over. So there is like the potential that basically the fun is just cut short very quickly. Whereas you maybe don't have the chance of that as much elsewhere. Yeah, I guess maybe I'm still confused about it, but like, I'm trying to like maybe more be a, I'm not trying to be so rigid in my, I think this is where like understanding goals feels quite important. I don't want to be so rigid in like my time sensitive goals, get to a point where I'm like, oh, the objective this trip is to climb burden and therefore almost compromise on like the quality of my experience here to do that. Because I actually love it here. There's so many amazing climbs that I would like to return to, that like, I don't feel that I need to risk jeopardizing like the quality of my experience here for sake of that.
No, I think that makes total sense.
It's quite nice.
Do you know how long you might be willing to stick around in Finland? Because it seems like you're really enjoying it. Like, are you planning on being there for a while yet?
Maybe. Yeah, I think partly we'll do down to the weather. I'd expect maybe a couple of weeks. I think it's usually mid-November. I think it starts getting pretty savage.
Yeah. It sounds like it's cold. Getting pretty savage already. So
it's actually meant to warm up. We had a little cold spell.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So
actually burden itself, like how's it been going? Because I've not actually really asked you quite how you're getting on with it this trip. You've done all the moves.
It's been quite a few. Well, actually, I actually haven't had a session on it without tape since the first session, so it's quite hard to tell exactly. But I'm hoping, well, I still have the rest of my skin, I've got a blister on my right hand that's still quite deep, but the rest of my skin I think is ready for tape 3 attempts.
So if you maybe avoid the last move, because you said that was from the last move, wasn't it?
I actually think with tape you can try the last move with that better than basically the right hand, which you go to for the first move and match. I think that's the one which basically presses on the blister. So that's kind of the hold I have to avoid. So it'll be more a case of like, I think practicing the top, maybe you can practice the first move with tape, but so it's definitely not felt like plain sailing. The moves when I've done them have felt relatively reliable. But I started to like, I think I was kind of like enduring sessions with kind of not perfect skin and ended up almost felt like I was being quite tentative, hesitant for what it might do to my skin on like attempts where I'm not just giving it burns. And it's very unforgiving climb for that, in that regard. They're moves which you want to be very like, you go to with a lot of conviction. And so I think moving tentatively basically just means like not doing a move, putting your hand on the hold and just kind of taking it off kind of thing, which obviously isn't very conducive with doing well. But yeah, I'm kind of, I actually did the first move before I did the last move. I found the last move kind of harder. But then
that's interesting because that's not what other people have said, right?
Yeah, most people find the last move kind of much easier. But then when I actually properly understood the last move, the first time I did the last move, I did it three times in a row kind of thing. Like
I love that feeling.
Actively changed something that was kind of like, oh yeah, okay, I can do that.
I love that feeling. I love that so much. That's my favorite thing in climbing. I think when you work a move for like a session and then suddenly you figure it out and then you just do it a bunch of times in a row. Love that.
Yeah.
So good. So satisfying.
So that was like a good psychological breakthrough anyway. So it's kind of like, I don't really know. I think I just need to like kind of wait for my skin to be good to actually like get a good gauge of how attainable it is right now. But like, I feel like with good skin, feeling a good nick, I don't see why. Like it feels possible.
Exciting.
I haven't given it tries from the start or anything yet. Yeah. But obviously I've tried the first move, but like generally not being like,
Thing is, you never know. Like, make sure you got that camera set up because you might just do that first move and get through the whole thing.
That would be, shocking. Yeah,
shocking, actually, but possible.
I actually probably should start recording the stuff I do out here.
you never know, and it would be so shit if you... Well, no. No,
it'd be quite,
it would still be great. But
it'd be quite funny, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah, there's no footage, sorry. What have you done to your finger, mate?
Oh, I just... No, it's all right. It's all right. It's every now and then after a session, I get like a bit of pain actually in the joint. Every now and then I like inflame the actual joint bit. And it always feels terrible, but then the next day it's gone. So like, I don't know quite what it is, like a little bit of bleeding in the joint or something, but like I get it maybe a couple of times a year and I'm always like, oh my God, my finger is injured. And then the following day it's fine. So I just got a compression thing on it to see if that would make any difference. But I think all it's really doing is it's stopping me from constantly opening and closing my hand to test how painful it is.
Makes it a lot worse, I think.
Yeah, which is not a good idea. So, and I'm definitely one of those people that if I've got a sore bit on my finger or some kind of pulley, I'll just prod it all day to be like, oh, is it getting better?
And then, inevitably, it's way worse.
Yeah, exactly. So I had we had a question from one of the patroons.
We actually had a lot of patroon questions.
Actually, this is one I'm going to ask because the patroons, I think, got a slight something out of what something one of us said or one of us wrote or something. They got kind of the idea that you were having a miserable time out there. So I think, should we just, you are...
Maybe it was the Finland write-up that I wrote.
Yeah, maybe that sounded like you were having a bad time. But I think, so maybe we should just ask you, are you enjoying
I'm having a
yourself?
Great time. Yeah. Okay. I wrote that bit in, I can kind of maybe understand why. So I like did a little write up for the Patreon about the trip to Finland. And I think the emphasis of it was like, it was at a point where I'd been doing loads of like kind of just like classic climbs with Sam and Jim, and they're like really psyched. So like, and I think they both have like pretty good eye for like quality climbs, probably better than mine. They were really motivated for really good boulders, so we romped around a load of incredible boulders. And I think at the time, it was towards the end of their time here when I like kind of first kind of organically felt quite motivated for Burden. Towards the start of the trip, I think I was almost like, oh, well, I kind of like, that was kind of a big reason that I came here. I should try it kind of thing. And so it's almost like, oh, I should be like, I should go there, which obviously is crazy. And so like, it was kind of at a point where I think I was, there's so much of this good climbing around. The thing is, when people know I'm here, I mean, obviously, I like, not that I would necessarily expect people not to do it, but like the assumption is I'm just trying Burden, and that is generally the only thing people are interested by. I know you've asked me about other stuff. Really, the discussion about Finland was going to entail a lot about Burden, right? And like,
but only because you're trying it. If you'd said that you weren't going to try it this trip, I wouldn't have mentioned it.
Yeah. Okay, so no, I wasn't like criticizing at all. Like, no, basically,
no, it's fine.
The thing being like, any like feedback I get while I'm here is, how's it going on Burden? Kind of, I think probably it is associated to that whole intrinsic motivation thing, which I'm a bit tired of, but like I'm resistant to anyway, and I don't particularly like it. Just like constantly responding to people about like trying Burden or feeling like I should be trying Burden. And so a big part of that write up was basically like, if I'm going to try Burden, I want to do it I want to like reclaim some of my own reasons to try it, like the intrinsic motivations. I'm a bit tired of just being like asked about it and like feeling like I should be going to try this thing where, as realistically, I feel like there should be no obligation as well. And so I wrote that piece, and I think the theme from it was probably that I'm probably not going to live stream my attempts. And like, if I'm going to try, it's going to be for reasons which like feel important to me. And then obviously I've since had more sessions trying it, which like maybe could be interpreted as I'm just trying it anyway kind of thing. But I'm actually having a really good time. When we were romping around all those great climbs, they were great. I was having a really nice time, and I've had some motivating sessions on Burden. I had a couple of days. I tried it 2 days in a row with tape, and the first was okay because I was doing some learning. The second, I made my skin way worse, even with tape, and was like, oh, that was not
worth
ideal.
It. Yeah.
That was not worth it. But I've done other climbing and like kind of like, just trying to be a bit more patient anyway. So in general, I'm loving my time here. Feels like I have very positive things to say. Like I love the climbing here. The people are super friendly. I think there's a lot of inspiring projects around. I'm having a good time.
Yeah. And I think, I think people will understand. It just, maybe it was something in that write-up that made you sound miserable, but let that lay the fears to rest on the Discord at least.
I actually wrote that incredibly, like it was completely unedited as well, because I'd said that I'd put it on the Discord but then hadn't written anything. And so you sent me a reminder just to be like, oh, I remember you said you'd put a Finland write-up.
Yeah, and I was just about to publish the episode where you said you were going to do it.
And so I just wrote it there and then and sent it without even reading it through. So it was very like...
Well, I thought it was really good. Maybe.
Well, yeah, you said you quite liked it.
I really liked it. And I think in a sense, you know, every time we put anything out into the world... in any form of media these days, we're always super careful, aren't we? We're super cautious not to say the wrong thing. And, you know, if you invoke the mob is obstreperous and relentless, and they will tear you down. And so we're all a bit as scared of the mob. don't come for me, mob. And so, like, we probably over-edit some things that we think. And there are things that we might say casually between friends that we would never put out. out of fear, even though it's like totally fine, but you're worried that it would get misconstrued or something. So I think in a sense, the fact that it was less edited probably is why it was better.
Yeah. Probably a few grammatical errors and the likes, but
Yeah. So, I mean, my grammar's terrible, so I would never notice. I don't understand grammar. I literally just do commas and full stops, and that's it. I don't know what any of the rest of them really mean.
But for anyone wondering, I'm having a good time. Thanks for asking.
Good. But in general, roughly speaking, what's the difference like now? Because, you know, you had your mates there for a couple of weeks and now you're by yourself. That must be quite a big difference. Just filling your time and your...
The day-to-day is very different. I'm actually, in general at the moment, like, I've been quite used to spending prolonged spells of time by myself, so I don't find it too, like, I think at times in the past I've found it quite, like, hard work or, like, forced, whereas it feels quite natural now. It was lovely having Sam and Jim here. They're a good laugh. I like them. They're good fun. Obviously,
I like them.
Oh, it sucked. They were great energy. We had a good time. It was a good laugh. It's like, it's quiet, longer days, doing some reading, doing some writing, doing lots of yoga. My like days, I'd go to less crags maybe. But like I'm trying to do some more, I'd say cultural things, but just like more like, exploring, the place I'm staying, the person who owns a flat, their partner has a bike shop. And so they've lent me bikes so I can cycle around Helsinki as well, which is pretty nice.
Wow, who is this person who's essentially sponsoring your trip? This is very kind.
Yeah, very nice.
Just use our flat and our bikes.
I do pay rent, but like...
Oh, you are paying rent. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I thought it was all gratis.
Oh, yeah. But it's very affordable. So I definitely feel very grateful for them. I'm trying to just be a bit of a tourist, forage for mushrooms, listen to lots of podcasts. I'm learning about politics, listen to lots of wrestlers' politics, which I've buried my head in the sand on the old political front for a very long time.
I'm a big politics fan, so I'll happily
about
politics. I love politics.
Yeah, well, I'm getting into it, but I mean, it's a sorry state of affairs right now.
It's a sorry state of affairs. I don't think there's anyone who knows anything about British politics that wouldn't say it was a sorry state of affairs right now.
Yeah, so...